Chapter 11. Jason stood at the viewport of the Anakin Solo's command salon, staring out at the cloud-mottled face of the planet Hapes. It was a world of splendor and abundance, covered in sparkling oceans and verdant islands. But Jason was too troubled to enjoy looking at it. Someone had tried to kill Tenel Ka and his daughter Alana. His hands were shaking, and his stomach was knotted, and as he awaited the arrival of their shuttle, his thoughts kept careening back and forth between fantasies of mass vengeance and eruptions of self-reproach. Jason knew he could not be Alana's first line of defense. So far, his relationship to her remained secret. If he spent too much time at the Fountain Palace, Tenel Ka's nobles would begin to suspect that the heir to the Hapen throne had been fathered by a Jedi foreigner, and that would only endanger Alana further. Besides, Tenel Ka was more than capable of protecting their 4-year-old daughter, and he could not give up his anti-terrorism work back on Coruscant without letting the whole galaxy suffer. But Jason could not help feeling guilty and frightened. Every instinct in him wanted to send Alana away to be raised somewhere safe, perhaps among the Falanasi or Jensari. Only the experiences of his own childhood, which had proven again and again how fallible such strategies could be, prevented him from considering it. That, and the fact that no place was truly safe. Jason had spent most of his life trying to bring peace to a brutal and chaotic galaxy, and matters only seemed to be growing worse. There was always some unseen war about to spill over from the next system, some hate-filled demagogue ready to slay billions to assure the greater good. Sometimes Jason wondered if he was having any effect at all, if the galaxy would not have been just as well served had he never returned to the Jedi and remained among the Aingtai meditating on the Force. As Jason contemplated this, the Hapen oceans began to sparkle more brightly. Some of the sparkles steadied into lights and began to shine in 100 lustrous colors. Others turned red or gold and began to blink at regular intervals. They flowed together into narrow bands and began to circle the planet, like the rivers of flowing traffic that had once girdled Coruscant. Jason took 3 deep breaths, exhaling slowly after each and consciously stilling his mind. While he could not yet summon Force visions on command, he had learned to welcome them when they came. They were a manifestation of his unity with the Force, a sign of his growing power, and the increasing frequency with which they came reassured him that he would succeed, that he was strong enough to hold the galaxy together. On the planet below, the island rainforests darkened to a deep, night-colored purple. 2 white dots began to glow up from the heart of one of the shadowy islands, and Jason found himself staring into the spots. They were larger and brighter than any of the lights on the oceans, and the longer he looked, the more they resembled eyes, white, blazing eyes staring up at him from a well of darkness. A few wisps of cloud drifted across the face of the shadowy island, creating the impression of a lopsided mouth and a spectral face. The mouth rose at the corners.
"Mine."
The words were breathy and cold and rife with dark side power. And the voice was familiar. It sounded like Jason's. He leaned closer to the viewport, studying the wispy features below, trying to decide whether he was seeing his own face. But the clouds were not cooperating. The wisps drifted into a new arrangement, and a lumpy brow appeared above the eyes. The cheeks grew sunken and smashed, while the mouth became gaping and twisted. Then the entire face began to expand, drawing a veil of shadow over the rest of the planet and dimming its sea of scintillating lights. The mouth rose at one corner, and the smile became a sneer.
"Mine."
This time the voice was too low and harsh to be Jason's. He felt relieved, since the mangled face could not be a vision of his future if the voice did not belong to him. The shadowy head continued to expand, swelling beyond the edges of the planet and engulfing the Hapen moons. The face became long and gaunt, its features now defined by patterns of the half-obscured light shining through from the surface of the planet.
Mine!
This time the word was crisp and commanding, and the head continued to grow, becoming round and coarse. It swelled beyond what Jason could see through his viewport, dimming the stars to all sides of Hapes, and engulfing, as far as he could tell, the entire known galaxy. Most of the face vanished into unrecognizable patterns of light and shadow, but the eyes remained, expanding into a pair of blazing white suns.
Mine!
The white eyes flashed out of existence with all the brilliance of a pair of exploding novas, and Jason felt as if an incendiary grenade had detonated in his head. He let out an involuntary groan and whirled away, hands clamped to his face. But his head did not explode. The pain vanished as quickly as it had arrived, and when he pulled his hands away, it was to find himself staring down at the reassuring pearliness of the command salon's luxurious resicrete deck covering. There weren't even any spots swimming before his eyes.
I hope that expression doesn't mean you left something back on Coruscant,
Lumia said. She was sitting across the spacious cabin at Jason's equipment-packed intelligence station, poring over the latest data on Tenel Ka's unpredictable nobles.
We have an opportunity to position you as the savior of the Galactic Alliance, but only if we move fast.
Positioning me isn't what matters here.
Jason did not want Lumia to see how shaken he was, at least not until he understood what the Force was trying to tell him.
Catching the terrorists who attacked the Queen Mother, that's important. Making certain it doesn't happen again. That matters.
Lumia frowned.
What do you see down there?
She rose and started across the cabin, wearing a black flight suit that matched exactly the color of the scarf that covered the lower half of her face. The pilot disguise was appropriate to the berthing she had demanded down near the hangar decks, and when she was in public areas, it also allowed her to conceal her disfigured face behind a darkened visor. On any other Star Destroyer, a pilot walking around in an identity-concealing helmet would have raised a security flag. But the Anakin Solo was a GAG vessel, and most GAG visitors had valid reasons for concealing their identities.
What's wrong?
Lumia inquired again. She stopped at Jason's side and looked out on Hapes, which had returned to its normal, placid appearance.
I see nothing disturbing.
It's gone.
Jason could think of only one reason for the succession of dark faces he had seen, and he retained enough of his childhood indoctrination to shudder at the thought of a Sith dynasty.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about what?
Lumia pressed.
Nothing.
Jason continued to look out the viewport, watching distant smoke trails rise and fall as interplanetary traffic entered and departed the Hapen atmosphere. Was the Force telling him that he was making a terrible mistake? That the Sith way would lead the galaxy into a long era of darkness and tyranny?
Come, Jason. There can be no secrets between us.
Lumia slipped her hand under Jason's arm and gently turned him toward her.
Tell me what you saw. I sense how it worries you.
I'm not worried,
Jason insisted. He started across the cabin toward the intelligence station.
Have you found out who's behind the attack on the Queen Mother?
Silly boy, you won't fool me by changing the subject.
Lumia pulled him back around to face her, this time more forcefully.
I know how troubled you are, The veins in your neck are throbbing like drumworms.
I doubt that very much, Jason said. Like all Jedi Knights, he had been trained from childhood to conceal such obvious signs of his feelings, and he was far better at it than most. I'm not troubled at all.
Oh, I can see that, Lumia mocked. Then your pupils must be dilated because you were so excited.
She looked out the viewport and allowed her gaze to linger on the face of the planet.
Is there some reason visiting Hapes would make you happy?
I'm always happy to come to the aid of an old friend, Jason said carefully. The last thing he wanted was for Lumia to keep probing and discover his feelings for Alana and Tenel Ka. Tenel Ka and I were classmates at the Jedi Academy.
I see.
Lumia's voice assumed a knowing tone.
Now I understand why you are so concerned.
Jason's heart leapt into his throat, and he began to worry that he had given away too much already. He had promised Tenel Ka that he would never reveal the secret of Alana's paternity to anyone, and when it came to Lumia, he considered that promise doubly binding. The Sith regarded love as a blessing that must be sacrificed in order to balance the attainment of power, and there were some things Jason would never be willing to sacrifice. Jason met Lumia's gaze.
Actually, I don't think you do.
He had to give her something else to think about, something that she would find even more engaging than whether or not he had a relationship with Tenel Ka. He exhaled slowly, then said,
I saw faces.
He went on to recount his vision, describing how the cowled heads had covered a little more of the galaxy each time he saw them. When he finished, Lumia arched her thin eyebrows.
And this future frightens you?
She demanded.
I have a hard time thinking of a Sith dynasty as a good thing, Jason admitted. Call it family prejudice.
Your family's opinion has been shaped by Darth Sidious.
Lumia's tone was surprisingly patient.
And he cared more about personal power than his responsibility to the galaxy. That is not the Sith way, as I had believed you to know by now.
I know what you claim, Jason said.
Despite his tone, he was relieved to have changed the subject.
That the Sith way is the way of justice and order.
The Sith way is the way of peace,
Lumia corrected.
To bring peace, first we must bring justice and order. To bring justice and order to the galaxy,
first we must control it, Jason said. I know.
Lumia ran her fingertips down the inside of Jason's arm.
Then why do you worry about what you saw?
You know why I worry.
Jason pulled his arm away, not sharply, but firmly enough to let her know he would not be distracted by her games.
You saw what Palpatine and my grandfather became.
And that is how I know you won't fall to the temptations that undid them.
Lumia paused to think, then added,
Verger certainly didn't think so either. Or you wouldn't have been the one she chose.
Jason raised his brow.
There were other candidates?
Of course, Lumia said. Do you think we would select someone for such an important role without considering all our options? Kip Duron is too stubborn and unpredictable. Mara too committed to her attachments. Your sister, too ruled by emotion.
You considered Mara? Jason gasped. And Jaina?
We considered everyone. Your mother was too frightened by Darth Vader's legacy. Your uncle was...
Lumia's voice turned hard and cold.
Well, he wouldn't have listened. He was too bound by Jedi dogma.
And old grudges, Jason added.
The long history of malice and betrayal between his uncle and Lumia was one of the reasons he still had doubts about his decision to become a Sith. He was well aware that all Lumia's talk of saving the galaxy might be a ploy, that turning him and Ben into Sith would be a vengeance on Luke that surpassed even murder.
What about you or Vergere? Why bother making me a Sith when you were Sith?
Because we wouldn't have succeeded,
Lumia said.
I'm as much machine as human, and you know how that limits me.
I know the theory, Jason said. The Force can be tapped only by living beings, so people with largely cybernetic bodies can't use it to its full potential. But frankly, your Force powers don't seem all that limited.
Neither did your grandfather's, except to the Emperor, whose power had no limit,
Lumia replied.
You have the potential to succeed. I don't.
And Vergere? Jason asked.
He needed to know that Lumia wasn't using him to get back at Luke, that he really was the only person who could bring an era of peace and order to the galaxy.
Her potential wasn't limited.
Not in the way you mean. But could she ever win the confidence of any government?
Lumia shook her head sadly.
She would always be tainted. At best, suspected of being a Yuuzhan Vong agent. At worst, of being a collaborator who helped them conquer so much.
Jason sighed.
I imagine that's true.
He was still unsure whether Lumia was telling the truth, but he could find nothing in her explanations to prove she wasn't.
So that left me.
I wouldn't say left,
Lumia replied.
You were clearly the best choice. Your reluctance to use Centerpoint against the Yuuzhan Vong demonstrated that you were capable of wielding great power responsibly. Your defeat of Savong La in personal combat proved you were not afraid to use great power when necessary. All that remained was for Vergere to recruit you.
Recruit me?
Jason scoffed, thinking of his long imprisonment among the Yuuzhan Vong.
You mean capture, don't you?
I mean both,
Lumia said.
Your uncle would have interfered with your training, so we had to isolate you. Vergere returned to the Yuuzhan Vong and helped them capture you, then maneuvered herself into a position to oversee your imprisonment.
You mean my breaking, Jason corrected.
He was beginning to realize just how intricately the two had planned his fate. What had seemed like accident and coincidence at the time had been part of a much larger strategy. A strategy that he still did not fully comprehend.
Let's be honest. Vergere had to destroy what I was before she could turn me into what you needed.
Lumia inclined her head.
Great strength demands great sacrifice. I have always been honest with you about that.
She looked out the viewport and let her gaze linger on Hapes.
The question is, have you been honest with me? Are you willing to sacrifice all you love for the greater good?
Jason's stomach grew so hollow that he felt as if an airlock had opened inside him. Somehow Lumia knew. He started to demand how she had learned of the relationship, then realized that doing so would only reveal the depths of his feelings for Tenel Ka and Alana, and increase the likelihood that Lumia would eventually demand their sacrifice in balance to his growing power. He stepped to Lumia's side.
I'm growing weary of being asked how much I'll sacrifice, he said. I've already proven...
A soft chime sounded from a small screen in the corner of the ceiling. Then Ben's voice came out of the intercom speaker.
Special Agent Skywalker, sir. The packages have arrived. They're not packages, Ben, Jason said. They're our guests. Show them to their cabins, and...
We would prefer to join you now. Tenel Ka's voice was less distinct than Ben's, but still very recognizable. We'll freshen up later.
That would be fine, Your Majesty.
Jason glanced over to find Lumia studying him thoughtfully.
Will Ben be a satisfactory escort?
Quite, Tenel Ka replied. We will see you directly. The intercom crackled off, and a knowing twinkle came to Lumia's eyes.
No need to worry, Jason. I know when my presence would be a problem.
She went to the corner of the salon and touched her palm to a hidden pressure sensor. A meter-wide panel of wall popped forward and slid aside. She stepped through the opening into a narrow white corridor, then looked back over her shoulder.
When you need me, I'll be in my cabin.
Good.
Jason went to the intelligence station and began to study the data Lumia had gathered on Tenel Ka's nobles.
I'll let you know what else the Queen Mother can tell us about these suspects.
I'm sure that will be very useful, Lumia said.
As soon as the wall panel closed, Jason summoned his Tendrando Arms security droid, SDXX, and asked him to do a security sweep of the entire cabin. He did not really suspect Lumia of planting an eavesdropping device, but he was not going to take any chances. Lumia clearly knew too much about his relationship with Tenel Ka already, and he was determined to keep her from learning any more. By the time Jason finished reviewing the files Lumia had pulled, SDXX had completed his sweep and was standing next to the intelligence station. With thin armor and blue photoreceptors set in a black skull-like face, he resembled a scaled-down version of his progenitor line, the mighty Tendrando Arms YVH battle droid. Jason looked away from his display and nodded.
Report.
No eavesdropping devices detected by preliminary and standard sweeps.
The droid's voice was thin, raspy, and just a bit menacing.
Consent to proceed with a comprehensive sweep?
No, Jason said. We don't have time for that, Double X.
A standard security sweep is only 93% effective,
the droid said.
If there is reason to suspect...
There isn't, Jason said, rising.
He had only a few moments before Ben arrived with Tenel Ka and Alana. SDXX was designed to look menacing and ominous, and he did not want the droid giving his daughter nightmares.
Dismissed.
SDXX remained next to the intelligence station.
Can you be certain, Colonel? In my experience, there's always reason to be suspicious.
I'm certain.
Jason pointed toward the hidden exit Lumia had used.
Leave the back way. I'm about to have visitors, and they don't have clearance to see you.
SDXX leaned forward at the waist, then fixed his blue photoreceptors on Jason's face and said nothing.
Go, Jason said. That's an order.
SDXX's voice grew cold.
Acknowledged.
He pivoted and stalked to the corner in utter silence, then touched the pressure sensor and vanished down the corridor. A moment later, the feminine voice of Jason's reception droid sounded over the intercom speaker.
Special Agent Skywalker is here with your guests, Colonel Solo.
Send them in.
Jason rose and stepped out from behind his intelligence station. The door hissed, and Tenel Ka strode into the command salon with Alana at her side. Mother and daughter alike were dressed in tailored flight suits of gray electrotex, a nanoweave material better known for its opalescent luster and outrageous cost than its effectiveness as an all-purpose armor. Behind them followed Ben in his black GAG utilities, and an older woman with a long aquiline nose, whom Jason recognized as Tenel Ka's personal aide, Lady Galny. Bringing up the rear was DD-11A, a large defender droid with a cherubic face, synth-skinned torso, and weapons-packed arms. The droid served Alana as both bodyguard and nanny. Jason started to bow to Tenel Ka, but as soon as Alana saw him, she pulled her hand free of Tenel Ka's grasp and raced across the deck with her arms thrown wide.
"Yedi Jason!"
Jason laughed and leaned down to scoop her into his arms, and all trouble left his thoughts. She was a beautiful little girl, with her mother's red hair and a button nose, and suddenly he knew that his long struggle was worthwhile, that he could never stop trying to bring peace and order to the galaxy, that Alana and all the children like her deserved to grow up on worlds untroubled by war and injustice. Alana leaned back, studying Jason with a pair of big gray eyes.
"Jason, some bad men tried to kill us, but Mama's guards chased them off, so now we can't have no more parties."
"Any more parties," Tenel Ka corrected. She had stopped 3 paces from Jason. Despite the worry circles beneath her eyes, she was as radiant as ever, with high cheeks and a long braid of red hair hanging over one shoulder.
"Let Colonel Solo put you down. You're such a big girl now that you've grown too heavy to hold for long."
That wasn't true at all, of course. Jason could have held Alana in his arms forever, because inside he was terrified of the sacrifice Lumia kept hinting at. He wanted to hold his daughter forever, to keep her pressed safely against him and stay in constant touch with her through the Force. But doing any of those fatherly things would only place her in even more danger. Even this small display of Alana's affection had put thoughtful expressions on the faces of both Ben and Lady Galny.
"The Queen Mother is right," Jason said,
holding Alana out where he could look at her. Though he usually managed to sneak a visit 3 or 4 times a year, this was the first time he had noticed the same fiery sparkle in Alana's eyes that he had so often seen in his own mother's when he was growing up.
"May I return you to the deck now?"
Alana frowned.
"Yedi are supposed to be strong."
"I am strong," Jason laughed. "But I need to save my strength for when I find the bad men."
Alana's eyes grew wide.
"You're going to fight the bad men?"
"Of course," Jason said. "Hunting bad men is my job."
Alana considered this a moment, then said,
"Very well, Jason. You can put me down. For now."
"Thank you."
Jason lowered Alana to the deck and watched her return to Tenel Ka's side. Then he turned to Ben, who was still studying him carefully, and said,
"I'd like you to escort Lady Galny to the guest suite. Stand by during her inspection."
"Okay." Ben's voice betrayed his disappointment.
"I mean, as you'd like, Colonel."
Jason would have preferred to let Ben stay for Tenel Ka's briefing. But Ben had been present when Jason learned that he was Alana's father, and Jason worried that seeing them together would overcome the memory rub he had used to alter Ben's recollection of the incident. Next, Jason turned to Lady Galny.
"Ben will see to anything you require to ensure the Queen Mother's comfort."
"Actually, I'll be staying."
Galny flashed him a cold smile.
"As I'm sure you can appreciate, times have been rather trying for the Queen Mother."
"I'll be fine, Lady Galny."
Tenel Ka kept her gaze fixed on Jason as she spoke.
"Colonel Solo's suggestion is an excellent one, and I'd like you to take Dee Dee and Alana along. Ben, I mean Special Agent Skywalker, can watch the Chumda while Didi does a security sweep.
Galny's green eyes flashed anger in Jason's direction, but she inclined her head to Tenel Ka.
As you wish.
She held out her hand to Alana.
Come along, Chumda.
Alana stepped past the offered hand to Ben, then took his hand and pulled him toward the exit.
Are you a Jedi too, Ben?
Yes. Ben cast a guilty glance over his shoulder, then amended, sort of. I'm in training.
Mama was a Jedi once, Alana said. She still has her lightsaber and practices with a Wamote.
Alana's narrative grew inaudible as she led her small entourage deeper into the anteroom. Once the door had slid shut behind Didi and Galny, Jason and Tenel Ka stood facing each other in uncertain silence, their eyes meeting, but their bodies still 3 paces apart. Finally, Jason felt sure no one would be returning unexpectedly.
It's okay, he said. I just had a security sweep.
Tenel Ka did not smile, but a look of relief flashed across her face. She was in Jason's arms almost before he could open them.
It is good to have you here, Jason. Thank you for coming.
I'm glad you asked me.
Jason held her to his chest, then said,
You didn't need to come up here, though. I would have been happy to come to the palace.
No, this is better.
Tenel Ka pulled back far enough to look up into his eyes.
I needed to bring Alana someplace safe.
Jason cocked a brow.
And your palace isn't?
Not at the moment.
Tenel Ka took his hand and led him over to the viewport, where the shadowy crescent of the planet's night side was just rotating into view.
Someone poisoned the witnesses.
Witnesses? Jason asked.
To the coup attempt,
Tenel Ka explained.
I had everyone who saw the attack isolated in the well.
The well is your detention center? Jason asked.
Tenel Ka nodded.
My secret detention center,
she explained.
Comfortable, hidden, and very secure. My ancestors have used it for more than 20 centuries to detain troublesome nobles, and no one has ever escaped from it.
They still haven't, if I understand what you said correctly.
Jason flashed a lopsided solo grin.
Unless the Hapen definition of escape is broader than it is in most parts of the galaxy.
Tenel Ka frowned at him.
Your joke is not funny, Jason. Most of the men who died were innocent bystanders. I was only holding them until I could determine who was and was not involved in the attack.
Bystanders? Why would anyone poison?
Jason let the question trail off, then said,
Tenel Ka, whoever killed the prisoners is trying to do more than silence co-conspirators.
Tenel Ka nodded.
If all they wished was to protect their own identity, they wouldn't have poisoned all the prisoners.
She turned and stared out at the darkening planet below.
The usurpers want it to appear that I am killing the innocent as well as the guilty. They are trying to turn my nobles against me.
We won't let that happen. We'll find out who these usurpers are and stop them.
Jason placed his hands on her shoulders.
You said the well is secret. Who knows about it?
Only one company of my personal guard, and a few members of my inner circle.
It could be someone in the guard, Jason said, but chances are...
Yes, it always seems to be the ones closest to you.
Jason looked toward the salon exit.
Lady Galny?
That's not what I mean,
Tenel Ka said.
Lady Galny's family members are among my strongest supporters. Her sister will rally to my cause the moment Jaina delivers my summons.
Jason frowned. Jaina was here?
Yes.
Tenel Ka took Jason's hand and led him toward the salon's conversation area.
Your sister arrived shortly after your parents.
My parents? Jason was growing more perplexed every moment. What are they doing here?
Nothing any longer. They've fled.
Tenel Ka sat on the couch and pulled Jason down beside her.
I'm afraid they may have been involved in the assassination attempt.
Involved?
Participated.
Tenel Ka clarified. For a time, Jason was too stunned to reply. He knew his parents had taken Corellia's side in the conflict. That was one of the few things that made him question the Galactic Alliance's position. But assassination was just not their style. At least he had thought it wasn't. Until he started to read the intelligence reports describing his father's role in the murder of Thraken Sal Solo. Finally, Jason turned to Tenel Ka. You're sure?
I am sure they were here,
Tenel Ka explained.
They arrived on the day of the Queen's pageant and insisted that they had an appointment to see me. At first, I thought there had been a miscommunication, but my security staff is now convinced that their assignment was to cause a break in my security routine.
Your security staff is convinced? Jason stood and looked into the corner, trying to make sense of what he was hearing, trying to picture the people who had raised him, the good-hearted scoundrel and the principal diplomat setting up Tenel Ka for an assassination attempt. What do you think?
Jason, I don't know what to think,
Tenel Ka said.
Some preliminary reports suggested that they may have been trying to warn me about the assassins, but
Jason continued to face the corner. He was beginning to feel almost relieved. Maybe Alana was not the sacrifice Lumia kept talking about. Maybe his parents were what he would be required to surrender, and maybe their deaths would not be a cold-hearted act of betrayal after all. Maybe he would be serving the balance, merely delivering a final and terrible justice to one more pair of murdering terrorists. But what? He asked, not looking away from the corner. Go on.
But they were seen leaving with the leader of the assassins,
Tenel Ka finished.
She even went to their aid when my guards pinned them down.
I see. A terrible sense of sadness came over Jason, and a sense of inevitability. Had his parents really drifted across the thin line that separated heroes from murderers? Had they really slipped into the murky realm of terrorism? He turned to face Tenel Ka. Is there any reason to think we should place our faith in the report suggesting they were trying to warn you? Tenel Ka lowered her eyes.
Not really.
I didn't think so. Jason crossed the cabin to his comm station. It appears my parents have become part of the problem in this war.
Jason, what are you doing?
Tenel Ka asked, following.
Please remember that as bad as it looks, we don't know the whole story yet.
But we need to. Jason slipped into the chair and activated the data display, then began to scroll through a long list of electronic forms. That's why we need to find them.
Do we?
Tenel Ka came around the desk and stopped behind him.
After the Millennium Falcon left Hapes, she vanished into the transitory mists. As long as she stays vanished, I'm willing to give your parents the benefit of the doubt. In fact, I want to.
Tenel Ka, we just can't do that. Jason found the form he was looking for, a GAG search and detain warrant, and began to enter the names of his parents. But thank you for offering.
Jason, stop!
Tenel Ka used the force to pull his hands away from the keyboard.
If you're angry with them because Alana was threatened, that's not fair. Your parents don't even know that Alana is their granddaughter, and there would have been an assassination attempt anyway.
Jason lowered his guard so that Tenel Ka could sense his emotions, then said, I'm not angry. I'm sad. He pulled his hands free of her force grasp and resumed entering his parents' data on the warrant. But this is bigger than me, and it may even be bigger than the Hapes Consortium. He entered a description of the Millennium Falcon, then hit a key and sent the warrant to the dispatch center. Whatever the terrorists are planning, my parents are a part of it, and GAG needs to know how.